You know all about the Springboks. You know the URC, you know the Curry Cup, and you know the Varsity Cup. But how much do you know about South African club rugby? Today you're going to get a front row seat as to how it works, who the big players are, and we'll talk sustainability as well with NACA Bulls Director of Rugby, Marinus van der Walt. Marinus, welcome to Front Row Rugby.
Thank you very much. It's like I said, it's a privilege to be on your show.
The privilege is all mine, I can assure you, Marinus. Let's begin with your role at NACA Bulls. Obviously, for those who don't know, this year's South African Pick and Pay Gold Cup champions. Just how proud of a moment was that for you?
Yeah, to say I was happy is an understatement. We worked for probably 10 years to get to this point. A lot of emotions that went through my mind, and I think everybody else's that's part of the club setup. But very proud of what we've achieved, and that's everybody at the club, from the juniors, the under 20s, right up to the seniors.
And can you explain for those who don't follow South African club rugby just exactly how does this Gold Cup work?
Okay, so it's the same competition structure as the I think it's, I'm not sure which soccer competition it is, but it's a knockout competition. So it starts with the top 32 clubs in South Africa, and then every weekend the winner stays obviously in, and the losers they fall out of the competition. It is all the provinces in South Africa. And then some provinces might have two teams in the competition due to the size of the province or the clubs in the province. And then sometimes they bring in wild cards. So SA Rugby, it's SA Rugby competition. They bring in wild cards, and then they will select, let's say a third club, let's say from Western Province or the Boerland or whatever.
And so if you're a South African club team, I imagine that the way it works, let's say for NACA Bulls, is that you are playing within your own local league, and then this Gold Cup is something that takes place on top of that, right?
Yes. So depends on which union you're at, but we play for our Gold Cup spot the year before. So we don't play it in the same year to get your spot. So we know a year in advance, but I know Western Province do it the other way. They will qualify if they win their competition, or the top two goes through to the Gold Cup, and obviously you've got to win your local competition to qualify for the Gold Cup.
Okay, so I suppose maybe in a way, for folks who are not familiar with it, maybe another way to put it is that clubs like NACA Bulls and then Villagers were obviously the team that you guys beat in the final. You're almost playing in your Curry Cup. And then if you finish in the top four, like in the old days, then you qualify for Super 12.
Yes, 100% correct. So that's basically the setup. I think what works great is that every club has got every province has got a club that's got an opportunity every year to play in the Gold Cup.
And that's quite exciting in itself. So let's talk, Marinus, about NACA Bulls winning the tournament this year. You mentioned that it's the culmination of about 10 years worth of hard work. Just talk to us a little bit about that journey that has led to this success.
Yeah, when I got to the club, Ian Herbst, who's our chairman at the club, he was at that stage. He took the club over. I was at Tuckies at that stage, and he said to me, listen, do you want to come help us turn the club around? We started the Academy, International Rugby Institute, because I was part of the Tux Rugby Academy. Those days was the Tux Bulls Academy. We started the Academy there, started with that process. Very tedious, a long process, obviously, because the name, the brand wasn't that good at that stage. When I started, the week when he asked me to come in, I think just before I got involved, I think we lost, I'm not 100% sure, but I think it was 92-17 or something like that. So we were right at the bottom, and through that whole process, every year we kept on fighting to get ourselves into a semi-final spot. A couple of years, went to the finals, lost in the finals, which was very frustrating for me as a coach, and I lost a little bit of faith in my own abilities. But it came right a couple of years back. We won the first one, then we lost again in the Carlton final, and then the Gold Cup started, and then in that year. We won the Carlton, which is our local competition, Carlton competition, and then the Gold Cup, and that was 7 years later.
Incredible. And it's a great story. And I think, Marinus, people love stories like that where a team is literally at the bottom and through a process of doing a lot of really good things, they can work their way up to the top and actually win the title. And I think these days in professional sport, you see a lot less of that. So, like at the moment in the Currie Cup, I mean, we saw this year and in recent times, teams like Griquas and the Pumas winning the Currie Cup, which is great to see. But we all know that if those URC teams are playing their best sides, that it's almost impossible for those teams to win. Just in terms of South African club rugby, how much money would you say is involved in terms of making it difficult for so-called smaller teams to actually compete with the big boys?
It's a very it's a scenario where most of the clubs in South Africa, I would say 98% of them are fully amateur, and everybody's got a misperception about narco bulls and think the players get paid thousands and thousands of rand, but it's guys that's working in the daytime and then play rugby in the evenings. Now, obviously, some clubs have got the financial backing, and then obviously clubs in smaller areas don't have the financial backing. I believe that the top, let's say the top 12 clubs has got money, but not what people think. We had a I won't bring in numbers, but we had a chat to the guys from Villages afterwards, and we were quite shocked at what those players get in comparison with our players. It is day and night, the difference. I think all the clubs struggle. Every club struggles. It's very difficult to sustain something like that because we don't get television opportunities to get on TV beyond SuperSport. So this year was quite nice to have played two games at least on TV. But for club rugby to really get into the right space in South African rugby, we need more, or let's say at least the Gold Cup needs to be televised. Let's say from the quarterfinals, all the games should be televised to make sure guys get. If I go to a sponsor or my chairman goes to a sponsor, he can say that it's worth it to sponsor us because you are seen on TV. At the moment, everybody's on YouTube, but with all due respect, YouTube doesn't have the same effect what television has.
Absolutely. So, Marinus, I just think too, like when I was growing up as a boy, and there would be pictures you would see of, like, I mean, Danie Gerber was still playing when I started watching rugby, but he was kind of finishing off, right? But I can remember men like that, and you would see on the TV, him playing for Dispatch, or you would see Crusaders, Villages, these kinds of the big clubs in South African club rugby history.
The old club championship,
Exactly. Exactly. So my question to you is, do we still see Springboks playing any club rugby these days, or is that just something that happened 20, 30 years ago?
Yeah, I think it's impossible now no, not impossible. Let me put it the other way around. There might be a slim chance of a player coming through the club system, but we've had a lot of our players in the past couple of years that went that went through the system, that wasn't professional, worked hard, and then at a later stage, the late bloomers got opportunities to play Currie Cup rugby and get contracts. But to see a Springbok in our competition will be 0% at the moment, as the competition and the structure is set up.
And then also, I'm just thinking of structures. And I know that these days there's this big emphasis on the universities. So you might see a player doing well at Varsity Cup, and kind of from Varsity Cup, he'll go to a provincial union and then into a URC franchise. But in theory, a youngster should also be able to go through the club system. How does that work?
Yeah, I think that's the conundrum that we have at the moment is we played university teams before, and we've beaten them convincingly, but they get the exposure on TV, like I said previously, so they get a better opportunity because it's week in, week out, they get exposure on TV, and it's difficult for me as a coach to convince let's say provincial coaches to take our players as a professional. So yes, I've got a few ideas on how to make it better, but that I don't know if you have time on the show to run through it, but there is definitely a market for what we do and in the competitions that we play in to make sure players, when they finished, let's say they want to study. Not everybody wants to study at a university. So we will have guys that studying to become a plumber or electrician or whatever. And then those guys get an opportunity to get into the club system and then hopefully make it into a professional setup. But it's very difficult currently due to the fact that we don't get the proper exposure.
Well, now I must tell you something. You mentioned a little bit earlier the differences between TV and YouTube. Let me give you one of the advantages of YouTube. You and I don't have to stop speaking after 25 minutes. We can go on a little bit longer. So with that in mind, I'm going to ask you to share some of those ideas with us.
Yeah, I think it's very contentious when it comes to that. But I believe that what should happen in South African rugby is the same model as the French model. So I believe that South African rugby should do away with all the smaller unions. They should allow any club to play eventually in the Currie Cup or a competition similar. You can take away the Currie Cup, but then have the ability. So let's say, for example, Stade Français was 4 years or 5 years back. They weren't even in the top 14 in their competition. But then eventually they fought their way back into it. But it should be a promotion relegation thing. So that money that they get from SA Rugby, wherever it is, so let's say, for example, it's Villagers. Villagers are the club champs. So they should now play out against one of those teams, whichever team, let's say at the moment it's provincial teams, but it shouldn't be provincial teams. So a small club should be able to play URC, which is people look at me and say, what do you mean by that? But there is a lot of money in South Africa when it comes to people that's passionate about sport. But due to the fact that there's always a cap for the clubs. So I can be the number one now in South Africa, let's say as Narka Bulls, but that's where it stops. So I can't go and get TV rights or play in a competition like the URC or the Currie Cup. So if they restructure it like the French competition where you can start in, private owners go in, they buy, in our terms, a third division club. They buy that club. They put a lot of money into it. They drive it. And then eventually the promotion relegation happens. They win that one. They get into the higher league. And if we get to that stage, you will not believe what will happen, because currently a lot of South Africans are playing in Europe and everywhere else, because the smaller unions get, let's say, 10 million rand a year, but they never threatened by having to survive and making good business decisions. They just get that money, and then they at the end of the day they make. They each year they get that check and they spend the money and they keep on staying bottom of the log in their competition. So I believe if there's that competition and it's open to anybody, any club in South Africa to get promoted and play eventually, I won't say necessarily everybody will get to the URC, But at least players will get into, let's say, a Curry Cup competition where there will be enough exposure, and obviously that comes down to sponsorships, so that the guys can finance and fund their clubs.
It's very interesting, and I mean, I've thought something similar, as it turns out, along those lines, especially when it comes to the Curry Cup. And I know that people will always talk about the history and the heritage of it, and obviously it was one of the great competitions in world rugby. But I think if we're very honest with ourselves, especially the last 10, even 20 years to an extent, it really has become a watered down competition. And especially if your URC franchise are going to use it as a developmental competition, then it's a legitimate question to ask, what really is the point of the Currie Cup these days?
Yes, I agree with you fully. I think the fact that the unions have to field it makes it very difficult. So it's taxing on their finances, number one. And number two is, so for example, if I look at Stade Français, a good friend of mine is at Stade Français, Cobus Potgieter. They don't have to spend a lot of money on they obviously have the academy or the under 20s and under 19s. And then they've got one professional side. They don't have to play in another competition. So they don't have to field three, four, five teams each year to play in different competitions. And that's why the financial model will never work. It's just too much money that's being spent. But if those players that's not playing, they play for another club, so-called, that will make the competition in that specific club much stronger. So if you look at the French model, that's exactly what happens. So the second tier or third tier competitions is very strong. There's a lot of ex-provincial players or South African provincial players that's playing in those competitions, and it's not even the top three competitions in Europe. I'm sorry, in France. But at the end of the day, there is money for that for them, and the fund the let's say the private owners fund those programs, because either they get the, I don't think they make a lot of money from it, but it's they like to spend their money, and something is a passion project that they have.
In fact, speaking of private ownerships and South Africans in France, it could have been about 6 months ago, maybe it was even more, I can't remember now, but Bobby Skinstad, former Springbok captain, has bought into, I think it was a pro, was it a D2 club, I think it was.
I think so. I think so. Yes. And they wanted to. I know that they wanted to get a lot of South Africans. So I wasn't part of a discussion, but one guy phoned me and said, if there's young South Africans that wants to play in that competition, send the CVs. And but yes, anybody can be an owner if they want to be. And I think if I look at Northam Rhinos. They've got a mind backing them, and the next step is going to be they're going to play. Most of their players are going to play as the Currie Cup side for the Limpopo Bulls, which is going to be in the next year or so. And for them to fork out 10 million rand to run a program is not a lot of money. It's petty cash for them, which is a good thing. But like I say, as a club, they can't go anywhere. But they will have to find other avenues to accommodate the players and give them great exposure.
Speaking of a mine owning a club team in South Africa, now it wouldn't be a mine, but maybe tech companies. You see that in Japan, don't you? Where Panasonic and these kind of guys own the clubs in Japan.
There's a lot of private owners or business owners that would love to do that, but due to the current situation, it's impossible for them. It's not worth it for them to spend 5 or 6 million rand on getting players to play for their club. It's either just for passion that somebody gets involved, but it's not the return on the investment is not worth it unless they get into a competition which is televised week in, week out, and that makes a hell of a difference.
Food for thought there for sure. Okay, so I know we've been jumping around a little bit, but one more question. One thing that is true of club rugby, and I think it's been the case in 1925 and in 2025 and even 1825, although I know like rugby wasn't really a big thing in 1825, but you know, give me the poetic license here, is that it means a lot, generally speaking, to the local community, the people that live around the area where the club is. You think of not just families, but also kids and fundraising and all these sorts of things. Just tell me a little bit about how Narka Bulls involves itself with the local community.
Yeah, I think we're very fortunate. We've got a massive youth club. I think it's over 600 kids that's in our youth club program, from six, seven years old up to under 18s. And we in the past couple of years, it used to be previously all the senior clubs sort of not franchised, but you know, gave other people the responsibility to run those programs. And then a couple of years back, I said, "Listen, we've got to make it part of our club, because otherwise, it will not have our DNA or our culture." And we took over the youth club, and we manage it from our side, and have our own management running our youth club. So that's people from literally from in our community. And the nice thing is that how many we've got the academy, so the players come out, we identify talent, we bring them into our academy, and then from the academy they go hopefully and make it and play for the first team. And there's so many youngsters that were let's say 7, 8 year olds a couple of years back that's now playing for a senior club. So that makes a massive difference. And then obviously we when we play, we always say to the players, it's for the people of the movement, you know, the people in our area. And so it's a big driving force for us.
Sounds good to me. Marinus van der Walt, thank you so much for your time today. It was lovely having you on Front Row Rugby, and I really hope we can have you on again in the future.
Peter, thank you very much for your time, and thanks for focusing a bit on club rugby, because we need all the help we can get.
Well, if you enjoyed this episode, why not leave a comment down below and let me know what you think about club rugby in South Africa and indeed its future. And I'll see you next time.